Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Wiest and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining us. Today, we are talking about the ultimate fear. You know, most people are living with some kind of fear, such as the fear of heights, or of flying, or of snakes, spiders, public speaking, or of contracting a fatal disease, or of dying. Now, many of us have experienced fear in our lives to some degree. You know, perhaps you were in a terrible car accident, and that moment before impact, the fear rose up in your throat. Or maybe you were robbed at gunpoint. Or you may have fought in the war, and you saw the devastation and deaths all around you. Well, we can all agree people do experience fear, whether real or imagined. Sometimes it's imagined.
That is so true, Bill. And right now, our whole world is shut down over a virus.
I know. It's
And there's so much misinformation and lies around that, which I won't get into, but to have the whole world shut down over a virus. You know, but what the people are really afraid of is they're afraid of dying.
That's right.
But if death is all people are fearing, they are missing the main point. What they should really fear is what they will be facing after they die.
That's true.
You know, if they die without knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, and I've always thought about this and pondered this. Some people on their deathbed, you know, there's people that have time to investigate eternity, to think about where they're going to go after they die. You know, they might have a terminal illness, but they still have some time to call out on God. Bill, why don't more people turn to God in their last hours or days or months that they have?
I believe it's because man's pride and arrogance. You know, he doesn't want to repent from his sin. And many of those people even hate God. They have a hatred for the God that's giving them their next breath. That's amazing to me. But they just don't want to turn away from their sin, and they will not even hear the gospel. You can't even tell them the word. And that's amazing too, because, you know, most people will investigate a short holiday or vacation, yet they won't investigate their eternity. They're just now getting ready to leave this earth, and you think they would be interested in, where am I going? At least investigate. But so many don't. You know, and Obadiah 1:3 says, you have been deceived by your own pride. So there's the pride again, deceives them into thinking, well, there's probably no hell. Who knows what exists after this? And all these lies that they are deceived with. Proverbs 14:8 says, the prudent understands where they are going, but fools deceive themselves. That's an interesting verse, because the prudent, they understand.
Yes.
They know where they're going.
They investigate or do some research.
Right. And the Bible says you're a fool if you don't. You don't know where you're going. You never investigated. That's a fool.
And I know in your book, Bill, What Happens When I Die, you list in there a lot of stories of people who have had near-death experiences, clinical death,
right,
or visions from God of people on their deathbed and what they were seeing in the afterlife. What were some of those people, what were they seeing, those who didn't know Christ?
Well, many described as they were slipping out of their body, they saw demons waiting for them and so forth, but people we actually have gone and visited in the hospital, some that were atheists, they were slipping out of their body and going down a dark tunnel. And they said it was getting hotter and hotter. And they saw hideous demons. They saw flames of fire. They heard the screams, and they were terrified. And the doctors resuscitated them, brought them back, and they wanted to know immediately, how do I get saved? And so when we visited them, one in particular, the very next day after he experienced this that night before, he was terrified, tears coming down his face when we went to see him. And he said, Bill, I was going to hell. How do I stay out of hell? What do I do? We explained salvation. They needed to repent of a sin and receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior. He was so excited to do that. And we led him to the Lord, and then a peace came over him.
Yes, I remember that. I know we've had some of our own stories, and then you list a lot, too, also in your What Happens When I Die book.
Many of them, and also in Dr. Maurice Rawlings' book about people that have had near-death experiences or clinical death or visions or dreams. There's many people that have got a glimpse of hell, and they were terrified. They repented and accepted Jesus, but they had that opportunity.
Because somebody most likely had to be praying for them.
That's right.
And their family or a neighbor or someone.
Somebody
so they
was
would
praying.
Come to Christ. You know, God is so faithful. He'll reach our loved ones even at their last breath if we will take the effort to pray.
That's how faithful and merciful God is.
You know, and I know in 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4, I believe it is, where it talks about people's minds being blinded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Jews, it speaks of first, we're blinded when reading the Old Testament. But it's so interesting how all it takes is a little humility and for somebody to turn their heart to the Lord, it says, and then the veil would be taken away for them. And it says that also in 2 Corinthians 4:4 to people who don't believe that Satan is blinding their minds, but it points out who don't believe. They are choosing not to turn their heart, not to believe, right?
Right. So the devil's blind to their mind, but they still have a free will to choose to turn. And that slight turn, God will meet them and reveal himself to them. But they don't want to know. They push him away. So people in hell, there's no one there unjustly. They chose to go there. You know, and Jesus said in John 3, 19 and 20, he said, "And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." So there he laid it out. Those people, they love the darkness. They hate the light because they love their evil deeds. And that's so sad, you know. You know, and also, but like we talked about, what they should be afraid of is the judgment to come, because there is a day coming where all will give account of their actions, their motives, and even the intents of their heart. And that will be a fearful day indeed for the unbelievers. You know, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment, mentioned in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15.
That will be terrifying.
It will be.
For an unbeliever. You know, in Dr. Maurice Rawlings' book, To Hell and Back, he said most people are deathly afraid of dying. They say, "Doctor, I'm afraid of dying," but I have never heard one of them say, "Doctor, I'm afraid of judgment." And judgment is the main concern of patients who have been there and returned to tell about it.
Right, so that verifies it. See, these people that saw what they were facing, now they were terrified of the judgment rather than just the death.
Yes, and the only reason, again, some of those people had that opportunity is someone in their life had to be praying for them, because God is fair and just. You know, he would show it to everybody if that wasn't the case. But
right.
He doesn't override man's free will.
Right, and not everyone's on their deathbed. They get killed instantly.
Exactly.
You know, but God tries to get through to man throughout their whole life in many different ways. So God is always fair and just with everyone.
Yes, absolutely. And I know some of you listeners out there know how Bill is, and he loves the scripture, which we all appreciate about him. And, you know, some of you may not know that when he was a child, he wanted to be an astronaut, which the Lord, when you had your 23 minutes in hell experience, showed you the earth from space when you were traveling back in your spirit body with him.
That's right, which was remarkable to see.
That is amazing.
Right. He gave me a desire in my heart. I always wanted to see that. How many have seen the earth from space?
It shows how good God is. He's so good.
And it was remarkable. Anybody that could see it, I don't know how you couldn't get saved to see God's glorious creation just hung there on nothing. It was spectacular.
But what some people out there listening may not know is as you grew older, in your later teens, you wanted to be actually a trial attorney.
That's right.
And so I think some of you can appreciate why Bill loves to lay out his case with the scripture, and he loves the word of God. So
that's right.
Bear with him. He's going to read a few verses now on hell and judgment.
I try to narrow it down to not belabor too much, but there's still going to be a few here. But you know, Jeremiah 23 talks about the word as a hammer, and it chisels away at people's
strongholds
they have over their mind.
Yes, that's such a good point.
So that's why I like to give the verses. So listen to these verses. Revelation 14, 10 and 11 says, "And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." Now that shows you that you still have to exist to have no rest and to be in the presence of the Lamb. And in 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9, it says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." You have to exist to be from his presence. In Romans 1:18, read that verse.
Yes, that goes on. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, who knowing the judgment of God," there it is again, knowing.
They knew.
"That they which commit such things are worthy of death." And I know the end of that chapter goes on to say many times that people push the truth away from themselves. They reject God.
Right. They're the ones that push them away. It's not that they didn't know. They know. They choose to push them away. 2 Peter 2:9 in the Living Bible says, "The Lord can rescue you and me from the temptations that surround us and continue to punish the ungodly until the day of final judgment comes." So notice, continue to punish the ungodly until. So see, the ungodly, the people that reject Jesus Christ, they go immediately when they die to the current hell or Hades. And so they're punished in Hades. And so they're awaiting the final judgment where the punishment will continue. That's what that verse is saying. And to back that point, in the book Hell on Trial, page 185, Dr. Robert Peterson says, "Another passage that suggests the conscious suffering of the wicked in the intermediate state is 2 Peter 2:9, while continuing their punishment."
So, Bill, that is like someone in a local jail awaiting sentencing to a state penitentiary,
right?
Correct?
They haven't been sentenced yet, but they're still in jail. And so that's like the current Hades. It hasn't gone to sentencing yet, the judgment day, but they're still in torment. And that goes along with Luke 16. Jesus talked about the rich man in hell, and he used the word Hades. That's the current hell. He said he was in torment in the flame, and he wanted a drop of water to cool his tongue. And he didn't want his brothers to come there. He knew they needed to repent, and he wanted to send back Lazarus to warn them, but that wasn't going to happen. But the point is, there is a current hell, and it's torment. People are in torment in the flame there until judgment day, and they'll be continue their torment. And then in Hebrews 10, 26 through 31, it says, "For if we sin willfully, a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation." Notice, a certain fearful. Zephaniah 1:18, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath." Now there's many wealthy people today that think they can get out of everything. Their money will buy them a way out. But in the day of the Lord's wrath, their money will mean nothing. It won't matter. Nahum 1:2 says, "He reserves wrath for his enemies." Then in Psalms 21:9, it says, "Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thy anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them." Isaiah 66:15, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire." Zephaniah 1, 14 and 15 says, "The great day of the Lord is near. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, trouble, distress, wasteness, and desolation." Nahum 1, 6 says, "Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire." And then Jesus sums it all up with this verse, Matthew 13, 40 through 42. He said, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." You have to exist to wail and gnash your teeth.
That is so horrible.
You know, so spending an eternity in hell is the ultimate fear.
And, you know, I noticed in all those verses you gave, a lot of them talked about the fire.
That's right.
And I know I've heard a few people's testimonies who have seen a little glimpse of hell. And, you know, hell is big and large, it says in the scripture, and they don't see everything. But some of these people claim there's no fire in hell, but they just only saw peace. They didn't get far enough, or they weren't shown that portion.
That's right.
I mean, the scripture is what we have to go by above our experience or our opinions.
Right, exactly. There's many more verses on the fire, many commentaries and so forth that believe it's real, literal fire. And we're going to go over that on another podcast another day. But anyway, so fear is one of the most terrifying things that you have to experience in hell. But, you know, I know something about fear. And, you know, but this fear in hell permeated every cell in my body. And it's actually beyond description. And again, I know something about fear. I was attacked by a tiger shark when I was 17 years old. I used to surf, and the guy next to me surfing got his leg torn off. There was blood all over the water. And now this 10-foot tiger shark came back and he bit my board in half. Now I was in the water swimming. And this shark came back and grabbed my leg and pulled me down under the water. Now you can imagine the fear that I felt at that moment. It's the most terrifying thing you really can't imagine. But that fear that I felt at that moment paled in comparison to what you feel in hell. It wouldn't even register. Hell is 1,000 times worse. And it's endless. You know, and so that's one of the things you experience in hell is the fear. But also you are experiencing the torment from demons, the darkness. It is so dark, you cannot see the hand in front of your face. You're isolated. You're not with people. You never have any conversation again. You look at these atrocious demons that you could only see by the fire where the flames lit it up just a little bit. These horrible looking demons, the putrid odors that you were breathing. There's a lack of oxygen. There's not enough air to breathe. There's confusion in hell. Nothing makes any sense. There's hunger and thirst. You never get a drop of water again. There's loud screams that are endless. There's no strength in your body. You never get to go to sleep. There's burning heat, fire, and brimstone, and the hopelessness. That is the worst part in hell, is the hopelessness.
So with the demons, as you said, Bill, they are there inflicting torment on people.
Exactly.
You're having to look at these hideous creatures and smell them.
Right.
And experience all this horror along with them.
And you have no strength in your body. You cannot defend yourself. And they have much greater strength than you do anyway.
So all of this is in addition to the fear.
Exactly.
I know in Psalms 73, 18 and 19, this is another verse that is scary. It says, "You cast them down into destruction where they are utterly consumed with terror."
That's right.
You know, and again, this terror is for all eternity.
Right, you're consumed with it. You know, Isaiah 33, 12 says, "The people shall be as the burnings of lime. As thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" Everlasting.
This
never
is so
ends.
Horrible. I know. Isaiah 38, 18, the last verse says, "Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth."
That's right. They have no hope. And the truth is Jesus Christ. They have no hope for him because it's too late. And that's the worst part, is understanding you'll never get out. You'll never escape this place. See, in life, we always have hope, some kind of hope. You know, even if your pain is so dire, you can always die to get out of the pain. But in hell, you understand you'll never get out. There's no one going to come rescue you. And that is the worst part, understanding you'll never get out. This is endless. Now, as you can see, those who reject Jesus Christ, or in other words, those who never turn away from sin and ask God to forgive them, will have to face a whole lot more than just physical death.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.